Blog Talk Radio.
Going to have Right on Point. Today is June 26, 2013. Won't you join us? Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm Pastor Jay Rouse, and welcome to the Pastor Jay Rouse Show. And this evening, we have various updates that we're going to be dealing with, along with some information about some very hot topics on Right on Point. I'm so glad you could make it, so glad you could be here, and hope you're going to stick around. Amen. And as you know, for those of you who have been listening in, and I do have to do a shout out to my listeners, because even when you're not able to listen in live, you still check out the show afterwards. And for that, I'm truly thankful. Our numbers have been going up each week. I'm going to give you some figures that will just simply amaze you.
our launch week, we had 1,200, over 1,200 listeners for the show. Praise God. And last week, for last week's show, we had over 1,300, or it was almost 1,400 listeners. It was much closer to the 1,400. And so I can't begin to thank you enough. You guys are simply awesome, awesome, awesome. But I know someone else who's much more awesome. We serve an awesome God, and therefore, all of this is because of Him. And so I don't do anything without Him, because I can't do anything without Him. So right now, if you would just join with me, we're going to start our show off in prayer and then get things moving, okay? Praise God. So won't we pray? Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and the glory because you truly are worthy. Father, we thank you for everything you've given us this week. And even for the trials and tribulation, it sounds an odd thing to say, but Father, we know that in the valleys we grow. And therefore, we know it's the end of the school year. And for that purpose, we know that graduation is necessary. And to pass each test would only allow us to grow and become the better people you need us to be, that we may be better people in the world and better people with your world. But right now, Father, as we prepare for this show, we reach out to those who are unable to listen. We reach out for those who we are unable to reach and ask that you find a way to reach those who need to be touched, Father God. We also speak to those who are sick, and we claim healing in the name of Jesus. We speak today of those who are financially in a problem or having a hard time, may not have a home or may not have food. Father, you said you would not have us begging bread. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, with all power and authority, we speak into their lives now that the blessings would flow. And, Father God, once the blessings come, we know that you are the one who should be honored and praised, and that they would be able to say, I have been with Jesus. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we reach out right now and we touch all those. We touch the ones who are lonely and let them know that they are loved, not just by us, but more importantly by you. We reach out to those who are sad and sorrowful or maybe mourning, Father God, that you would be a comfort. And as we know, a very present help in a time of trouble. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak joy, we speak love, we speak laughter into everybody's life, because we know that through laughter and joy comes blessings, because you are the source of our joy. And Father, for those who don't know you, we speak a word that you would just touch them this evening, Father, and let them want to get to know you. Let them feel you in their heart and in their spirit. And we praise you. We lift you up. We glorify and magnify you. And Father God, we know that this is your show. It may have my name on it, but you are in the midst. And I know I can't do it without you. So, Father, we thank you. We leave it all in your trusty hands as you take over right now. Bless the listeners, bless the guests, and bless the topics now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We have a couple things that we want to do some updates on this evening. We have quite a few things, actually. This week, This weekend I was in Windsor, Ontario. Last week, you'll remember that we had an amazing young man by the name of Jermaine Cowan on the show, and he was such a blessing. And he was performing with his band. It's the Jermaine Cowan and the Rhythm Kings, and they do have CDs available. So definitely you want to check out their website. If you need more information, you could contact me. at the pastor at Pastor J. Rouse Show at gmail.com. And on Twitter, it's just Pastor Rouse Show. There's no J in there on Twitter. Okay, and so we were able to get some copies of his CD. We're going to try and get some more, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing some giveaways, and we'll be able to get you some copies and ship them out so you can hear the blessing. He had the CD. He gave me two of them, but the one that I was enjoying even more than the other, because it's hard. They were both wonderful. And it was a CD by the name of Timing. And I tell you, the CD is awesome. And, you know, he's not just a reggae gospel singer. They do R&B. They mix it with all sorts of stuff. And very inspiring. They were just a wonderful, wonderful band. And the personality, you can sense Jesus with them. And at the concert, they had this wonderful singer. Her name was Melissa. I'm giving a shout out to Melissa. And she was such a joy. This girlfriend got down. I mean, she sang. Okay, she sang. It was off the chain. So we're going to keep an eye on that group for sure and keep you posted. But in the meantime, I have to play one of their songs because this song has been haunting me. It's one of those really catchy tunes, and you just can't stop playing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can find it here. Here we go. This is Jermaine Cowan and the Rhythm Kings, Something About Life. I couldn't stop singing this song. It's so catchy. I'm forever humming it. Here we go. Ooh, oh.
Life, yeah, makes me wanna smile, makes
Something about life makes me want to smile. You know, if you can't find something in life to make you smile, then you got to dig deep. Because despite whatever you think is wrong, somebody out there always has the worst. And we don't ever want to have to be in a situation where we are the ultimate worst. Amen? And we just have to find that joy within. Call on the Lord. Take a look around you and realize how blessed you are. There's so many things that we have in our lives that we take for granted and we need to not. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm actually just trying to get a couple things here. I want to do a shout out also to our sponsors. I'm very happy to announce that we have Cliffside Village Books, one of our sponsors right here in Scarborough, Ontario. It says, your journey begins on page one. And they're also on Facebook. You might want to look them up. Cliffside Village Books. All of J. Wright Rouse's books are held in Cliffside Village Books. And also Rouse Ministries Publishing Books. So please feel free to support your local bookstores. Mentioning that, I also want to give a shout out to a bookstore in Windsor, The Book Room. And she is one of the older people. And so that's such a joy to be able to have someone in her 80s still pushing books. And she's been in this industry for a long time. That's Ann Beer. And she's such a joy. Such a joy. Okay, we're going to keep moving right along. We had also talked about the Heritage Singers. They performed at the Hallelujah Gospel Concert. I definitely want to give them a shout out to Sister Grace and Sister Leanne. Grace Lyons is the founder, and she helps put this together and works really hard at it. We were going to be able to speak to them this evening, but it's tough coordinating everybody and getting our schedules together as well. Awesome, awesome ladies. But the show was amazing. We'll be posting some pictures, some video feeds. We'll have much more audio. We've got some of their songs recorded. But in the meantime, what I will do is listen to one of their medleys, the Hallelujah Pepper Pot Medley. Okay? Enjoy.
At the river.
Soon we'll reach the shining river.
Soon our pilgrimage will cease.
Soon our pilgrimage will cease.
Soon our happy heart will quiver.
Soon our happy heart will quiver.
With the melody of peace.
That was real sweet. I was just doing a little jig here and doing some little soca dancing myself. These guys are awesome. I got to speak with Sister Grace earlier this evening, and we're definitely going to hear from her and Sister Leanne next week. I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. They are so good. I can't wait to show you guys the pictures and the videos that we've taken. As I said, If you have a certain type of event and you would like the Pastor J. Rouse Show to come or Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communication, please let us know. Again, email address is PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com. And remember, on Twitter, there's no J, it's just Pastor Rouse Show. I would be more than happy. Our goal is to make sure everybody knows that we love the Lord and we praise the Lord and we share the Lord and we have fun in the Lord. I think that's my favorite part, the last part, having fun in the Lord. I was always a little character from the time I was a little girl, and now I'm living and serving the Lord, and I have even more fun now. So you know what? You have to find your joy. You have to find your joy. When you're feeling down and out, and sometimes the world will come at you with both barrels, you have to be prayed up and ready. But it's still going to hit you, but you still have to find your joy. And so I speak this into your lives this evening, that everybody can find their joy. And we're going to be dealing with this Heritage Singers of Canada. Next week, we will have some more information for you. We've been quite busy. It's been a very busy week. On top of that, I have some updated information. The Soweto Gospel Choir, Grammy Award-winning choir, they have updated their tour. Remember, they had to delay it by 2 weeks, and now they've got a full update on their tour taking place. And they hit Canadian soil on July 2nd. That's correct. Because July 3rd, they're in Lindsay, Ontario. July the 4th, Huntsville, Ontario. And July the 6th, they are going to be at the Montreal Jazz Festival. But here's the exciting news. Pastor J. Rouse will be doing live interview, video feed, person-to-person interview with the Soweto Gospel Choir on July 2nd. So now what we're going to be able to do is we will take some audio and we will definitely be recording everything and then going ahead and playing it on the YouTube channel so you guys can watch the video recorded interviews, but you'll also get to hear the audio. Now, I believe the next show is Wednesday, July the 3rd. So you will have an opportunity to be able to actually hear some of the audio. But in the meantime, we do have some music. But I need you guys to keep praying because I understand that South Africa is basically very concerned because it looks as though Nelson Mandela, the update today is that he is on life support. I believe he's 94 years old, and it's hard for them. I mean, we fell in love with him. How could you not fall in love with somebody who stands for something so powerful? You know, they say if you stand for nothing, you'll stand and take everything. And we don't want that. And this man has endured. I mean, endured. I mean, we go through some things. I think if we were locked up for 10 minutes, we'd probably lose our minds. I know it's not an easy task, but he believed in something so strong. I think I say I might not be able to do something like that, but then you just never know what you'll do because I know I stand up for Jesus because he stood up and he died for me, but he rose again for me, and that's the most important thing. So I think to be able to stand up and withstand your ground and really mean something and serve a purpose, I think his determination is what blew their mind. I've actually watched a few Mandela movies over the time and always moved to tears, fears, anxiety, just overwhelmed. So he's like Solomon. He's like father to a nation. And so I think the whole country mourns if something happens. And we know that they've been watching him over the last couple of weeks and in and out of hospitals. But today we heard that he's on life support. So We ask everybody out there, if you're praying, folk, to continue to pray for the Mandela family and to pray for South Africa, because they are one family. They are one in the spirit. And so we just really lift them up. But for now, we've got some music from Soweto Gospel Choir. I was so excited to be able to get my hands on this. I think these guys are awesome. This first one, I'm actually going to dedicate it to Nelson Mandela, and it's called Blessed. Wow, that gave me goosebumps. Wow, I feel so sad. I'm emotionally moved right now. You can feel the passion in their singing. You can feel their years of struggle. You can feel it. You can feel it. But we're going to move on. We do have some more music from them for later on. In the meantime, I want to do a shout out to everybody who's had a birthday. Happy birthday to all of you people in the last week who have had a birthday. I know I did a special funky birthday shout out to a friend of mine. She's also a minister, and she's down there down south, and I don't think she's heard it because I haven't heard that I'm in trouble, but I'm sure it'll catch up with me sooner or later. Praise God. But for those of you who are celebrating birthdays, happy, happy, happy birthday. And I'm actually, instead of playing a birthday song, I'm actually going to play another Soweto Gospel Choir song. And it's their version of Forever Young, because I think you're going to be forever young. And while we're doing birthday shout-outs, one of our sponsors, I love these guys. I want to say happy anniversary to Sister May and Brother Mike. They are the owners of that very wonderful restaurant. They're one of our sponsors, and it's a Scarlet Ibis restaurant on O'Connor Drive, 1880 O'Connor Drive in North York, Ontario. They are celebrating. I'm hoping she won't get upset. I told her I would do the shout out. 21 years of wedded bliss, and I tell you, if you've been to the restaurant, you would agree with me. These two look like they just met and they're still dating. Praise God. They are a wonderful, wonderful couple. I've never seen a pair so perfectly matched. And so we want to do a special shout out to them too, because marriage is, it's work. it would be so wonderful that we could just fall in love, we could just get married, and just kind of float along in wedded bliss for many, 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 many years until we get old and gray, and we would just laugh and giggle, and life would be wonderful. But we know trial and tribulation. The Lord never promised us sunshine and roses every day. But it does take some work. It's not so much the work that it takes to love somebody, because when you love Jesus, then you know how to love. Because you love Jesus, you therefore know how to love yourself. And then from there, you learn how to love others. And, well, if you can love your neighbor as yourself, how much more can you love the one you desire? Amen? So, but for 21 years, and they even work together side by side, and they still look like they're just honeymooning. So happy, happy anniversary. And here we go, Soweto Gospel Choir, Forever Young. I love the way this song, they took a regular song that you hear on the radio. It's a soft rock mellow song, and they've turned it into their own style. It sounds wonderful. Take a listen.
May God's blessings keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others, and let the others do for you. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth
and see the light.
Amen. So that's to our birthday people, and definitely, definitely my buddies May and Mike at Scarlet Ibis Restaurant. Happy 21st anniversary. Big hugs and kisses. I will see you both soon. In the meantime, don't try and behave, because you're married folk. Enjoy, and like the song says, may you forever be young. Amen. If only we could. You know what? I think I am young. I'm young in spirit, My body might feel old, but I'm young in spirit, and I'm determined that I'm going to stay that way. Okay, now we've got one more update. I'm all excited. You'll have to forgive me. I sound a little giddier today because what everybody else doesn't know is what I know. I have two very beautiful women, amazing, mentally intelligent, intellectually phenomenal women, as my friend Maya Angelou would say, waiting in the green room. Well, I'm going to call it my red room because I like the color red. So we're going to call it the red room, or it really could be a blue room. They are waiting. They're listening to the show right now and probably laughing and thinking I've lost my mind. But Miss T, also known as Trine Prosser, you already met her last week. She was on the show last week, and we had such a joy. And I told her I enjoyed her energy. I would definitely have to have her back, and I'm still going to get her back. I'm going to put a panel together, and we are going to talk about dating and courting and all these wonderful things about relationships. And I actually have a show coming up very soon, so I've got to give her the heads up. She's hearing it now, but I actually have a Christian dating collective project that's going to be coming on our show in a couple weeks, because they are trying to try and do a greet me Christian single thing where they can not only just try and date and do speed dating and try and get to know other Christian singles, but they have Christian single events. And so I definitely wanted to speak with them. At this point, I believe they've only got up to age 40 or something, and me just being over the age of 40, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I just fall into the next category. So, but that's okay. But the other wonderful, phenomenal words can't even begin to describe. I met her also on Blog Talk Radio. She also has her own Blog Talk Radio show. So I, when we do get these ladies online, I will be sure to make sure she gives you all her information, because she has a special project that she's been working on for a long time. She's really dedicated to this, and the information she has is phenomenal, and it's on the colorism project. Now, I will get her to explain that in detail, and it's going to be very effective for one of our key topics this evening. And so we definitely want to hear both these wonderful ladies. We're going to be adding them in pretty soon. I have one more update. Glass Awards. That's what I'm going to say. Glass Awards. I told you I've been busy. I think for the last week and a half, I've done nothing but run around. I had the opportunity of attending the Women of Excellence photo shoot. I think I mentioned that last week. We now have the video feed. We now have the audio ready. And we also have the pictures all set. So you will definitely be getting those, and they will be posted. I have also had some contact with Dr. Brown Spencer. She is one of the recipients for the Women of Excellence Award and also a nominee for the Theatrical Award. She is also going to be coming on our show in a couple weeks because she's an author and a playwright, and she's got lots of amazing plays, and we ended up talking and had so much in common. And much like me, she's a big anti-bully activist, you could say. And so we've definitely got some things moving ahead, and she will also be on the show. But all of these things are going to be taking place at the awards show itself on July the 20th. And they have a breakfast in the morning. I'm doing a shout out, comedian Jay Martin. Have your people call my people. Well, I don't have any people. You could just have them call me. And when you can get the time, because you have not responded to me, We have to get him on the show. He is going to be the comedian at their banquet when they have their awards presented to the recipients the morning of July the 20th. As the time comes closer, I'm going to give you some more information regarding tickets. I'm thinking there may still be some more tickets, but the evening event for the official Glass Awards, I think it's only $20. I'm doing this from memory. I believe it's only $20, and it's going to be a red carpet affair. That means I've got to get my hair did. I'm going to have to put on a little pretty frock, as they would say, and I'm going to have to clean up and look like somebody. As my father would tell me, you need to clean up and look like somebody. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't like to do the girly thing. Anybody who knows me knows that I would sooner just kind of do what I got to do and leave it at that. But because we're discussing women of excellence, this week and next week, we're going to be promoting one of our newest candidates on board with her music. And she's all the way in a wonderful island. See, you like the way I say that. If I talk about any other island now, I'm in trouble. But this is such a wonderful, wonderful island. And it is called Barbados. Now, yes, my background is from Barbados by way of London, England, and Canada. But I'm only part Bajan, as they would say. My mother is from Barbados. And I think Barbados is a wonderful, wonderful island. And it's not just because most of my family live there. It's because it's a gorgeous place. But I will be heading there in October, and we've got all sorts of interviews. We'll be doing some on-location stuff. And one of the people we're going to be interviewing is this wonderful woman. She's a beautiful woman, and her name is Norma Aileen. And she has a couple songs out, and we kind of harassed her to get one or two of her songs. I'm only teasing. She more than willingly gave us a song. And this one I kind of like. So I'm going to use this as a segue, because we've got the Right on Point taking place immediately following Norma Aileen's song, Come With Me. And then I will have live on air with me will be Trinae Prosser, a.k.a. Ms. T, and the wonderful Dr. Donna Marie Culbreth. And we are going to be dealing with some topics, but our key point is, well, a woman who, yes, I'm going to say she's a woman of excellence, but she's not doing so excellent these days. But right now, this is Come With Me by Norma Aileen.
Amen. He will give you rest. He said, come with me. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my joy and my pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Donna Marie Culbreth and Trinae Prosser. Let's give them a warm welcome. Amen. It sounds like you guys are stealing my crowd.
No, we didn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the shy one. I'm not the shy one. I like that.
Now, Miss T, you need to behave yourself. Down, girl. Down, girl.
Needed to get me out of that red room, girl. I was getting happy on them Fritos and Pepsis.
Well, was it the other one? Pinto beans. Pinto beans. That's right. Okay. Dr. Donna Marie Culbreth, my
yes.
friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen.
I love the show. Your show is outstanding.
Oh, you know, when you said that before, I almost cried. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are the radio host.
I try, but no, this show is perfect. It's warm, it's welcoming, and it just feels good. And,
yes.
you know, your message, everything, it's just perfect. I love it.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
I'm hooked.
Well, he did say he'd make me fishers of men, so...
Well,
I guess I threw in my line. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you know what? And I'm beyond flattered. You have no idea how moving that is for you to tell me, because I know you have been working on a project for how many years now? Please, I want you to explain to everybody who you are and what you do. Calling all the way, everybody, from Maryland. Praise God.
Okay, everyone, this is what I do. I actually, for the past, let's say, 7 years, I've been working on the Interracial Colorism Project. And that project focuses in on colorism, meaning how people of color treat each other differently based on the color of their skin tone. So, for example, you can have light, medium, or dark complexion people. And people actually, and this is really sad, because what happens with colorism is that people make a distinction where they may look at someone who's dark complexion and say, well, I don't like her just because she's dark-skinned. Or it could go vice versa. It could be light against dark or medium against light. And what made me actually get into this, my PhD research, my dissertation, investigated colorism occurring among Black Americans in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Study came back and found out that it was occurring. So
right.
what I decided to do with the Colorism Project was, just through conversations, talking to people, reading articles, it appeared that colorism was still a big issue affecting the Black community
mm-hmm.
at alarming rates. And I actually started to see this where you're having people were holding parties where they were having light-skinned women could get in free. Anyone who was, you know, was not light-skinned would have to pay a fee, which
right.
in the work environment.
Uh-huh.
And there were so many issues. So I decided to start the Colorism Project. It's actually the Interracial Colorism Project. And the goal of the project is just to educate everyone in society, not just academia, but everyone of the detrimental effects of colorism, because it hurts. It leaves a lot of people scarred. And it's really, if you think about it, it's just ridiculous. Colorism stems from slavery. And colorism, and here's something else, I expanded the project late last year to
uh-huh.
not just cover Black Americans, but to cover all people of color.
Right.
Because you have people who are Asian, Indian, Latino, Afro-Brazilian, Jamaican, Haitian. People of color are affected by this. And even though the manner in which each different race, each group is affected may be a little different, and if you look at them as a whole, there are a lot of similarities there. So I started the project. I have a talk radio show, The Dynamics of Colorism, and
mm-hmm.
that airs every Thursday on Block Talk Radio at 8 p.m.
Right.
I started a journal of colorism studies, which is a scholarly, I call it like the scholarly database, where people who write articles on the scholarly level, conduct research, can submit their journal, their articles to the Journal of Colorism Studies.
Right.
And I'm also getting ready to launch Taco Magazine, which is a magazine which will be global. It'll be an online magazine, and we hope to have it in all the different languages. And it'll be focusing in on colorism issues affecting people of color globally. So that's just some of our projects. It's a lot of work, but this is my passion, and I'm committed to making sure that I can at least make a difference, just get the public to understand that we, in 2013, don't need to continue treating each other disparately or favorably because of the color of our skin.
Definitely.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And actually, Dr. Culbreth and I, we met because of this colorism project, because you did a show, Colorism and the Church.
That's right.
And
excellent show.
Here's my chance to do a plug to my buddy out there. I had the pleasure not just doing it with Dr. Culbreth, but there was a phenomenal, amazing, warm, superhuman mom who was on the show, and it was the, as I keep calling her, the good Reverend Dr. Culbreth, who is Dr. Donna Marie's mom. And she's a phenomenal minister and a woman of opinion and a woman of intelligence and just an amazing person. And she and I, we got to be on this panel, on the show. And you know what? I had so much fun with your mom. She is just amazing. And she's been through some things, and she could really relate with the colorism because she was around not just with the colorism, but when things were trying to change in the U.S. regarding racism itself. And so she could put a spiritual, she could put experience into it. And so it was a multifaceted conversation, and I really, really enjoyed that. But we want to say, if she's listening, hey, Reverend Dr. Culbreth, we love you. I just think she's amazing. So, and you know, I'll have to have her on my show sometime too.
I know.
Church. We do nothing but Christian stuff. So I know it will be interesting. Now, the other amazing woman that I have on the line is a comedian. Even though we have a very serious topic, she is a comedian because the joy of the Lord is her strength. Amen, Miss T?
Amen, girl. Have church here, okay?
And she is also an author. We introduced her to our listeners last week, and I had assured her I was definitely going to have her back because she touched base on so many topics that I definitely know I want to delve in some more. And you're going to be on pretty soon there, Trinae, because I told the listeners that we have some Christian dating groups. And they're not even dating services per se. I think with the dating these days, it's a full-fledged all-around thing. You connect them and you work with them and you give them places to go and you give them things to do together. And so this particular group, this is what they do. They not only have events where singles can meet, but they have events where they connect or they can just hang out, and couples can come as well. And they have events. So it's an actual opportunity. And I can speak to this. When you're by yourself and all your friends are paired up, sometimes it's not the easiest thing, especially when it's outside of church, because, see, church tends to be our comfort zone. So if it's someplace outside of church, you don't really want to go by yourself and be that third wheel. And so this way they have so many events that everybody can come, and you don't feel like one of the left out wheels. So, Trinae, you'll be in on my discussion with that, because we're going to get some pointers and we're going to give out some information and we're going to have some good discussions going on. Now, why we have these wonderful women on the line. My. Let's deal with the easy topic first. Nick Willenda. I don't know. I'm not a person who drinks. And most of the time, I don't know if I could even walk in a straight line. This man, he walks on a high wire, and I don't know. I'm lost for words. He walks on a high wire, very, very high, and he just recently climbed, he walked right across Niagara Falls. And I don't know if everybody knows what Niagara Falls is, but it is a huge gaping hole between Canada and the U.S. in New York State, between Niagara Falls, Ontario, and Niagara Falls, New York. And there's water rushing. So even when you are by the falls, you get splashed on and you get water on you. And this man is above the falls and he's walking. So this is a little frightening because he's getting wet while he's walking through. And so now he's opted to go ahead and do this. And it was frightening because he actually made it across. I have to tell you, I only saw little bits and pieces. I'm a praying woman, but I don't really want to watch anybody fall to their death.
Right, true.
And so I would check in every now and then just to make sure he was still on the wire. And then when he said, I am going to go ahead and do the Grand Canyon. Well, this thing is even wider, and you know what? At least, Father forgive me, but at least if you fall in Niagara Falls, you at least have a softer landing because you fall in water. You might not survive,
right. But
at least you land in water. I think I'd sooner drown than hit every rock known to man and then have to be tumbling and tumbling doing that. What is it Eddie Murphy would say? Oh, Lord, help me, about the aunt who has fallen down the stairs.
Well, right.
this is worse because every single edge of this cliff is going to be extremely sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, I tuned in, tuned off, kept praying. And I'm telling you, even when I'm not watching, I'm still praying because I'm thinking, I'm not sure, I don't understand the logic of being a daredevil. I remember when I grew up, we had, what was his name, Evel Knievel.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody
remember
him? He's a motorcyclist and he ended up breaking every bone in his body?
Yep, I remember, yes.
Okay.
I think it's an attention getter. I think there's some deep-rooted psychological issue where because remember his family, I think, were they the Flying Willendas or something?
Yes, the Flying Willendas, yeah.
Right, uh-huh. I think it's just maybe to get attention, maybe to stand out when you compare him to these other family members. But personally, if someone said to me, Dr. Kopich, I would pay you $1 million to try that, my response would still be no. Even with training and practice, no. I like to feel the ground underneath my feet. I just think there's some issues there, though. I mean, seriously, consider it.
I guess
first
it's a
of all,
rush.
Well, number one, maybe that it's a rush for him. Now, I've always had a great interest in skydiving, and I always said, you know, that's on my bucket list to actually go skydiving one day.
Oh, boy.
I've gone parasailing when I was in Mexico. I love it. It is a thrill. It's like this thrill and a rush.
Uh-huh.
Walk across a tightrope over a dangerous area now.
And remember, he doesn't use a net, and he has no tether connecting him to anything.
No. I just don't understand. Unless maybe it's the thrill. Maybe he's getting sponsors who are paying him a lot of money. It could be where people, you never know.
Well, and here's the thing. I heard he got a sponsorship today. But I don't think that's why he does it.
He survived. That's why he got a sponsorship. If he wouldn't survive, he would want him. I mean, he would be gone. So
if he didn't make it, I guess he would get sponsorship. It'd be some funeral home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He just showed he had nerve steel, so somebody wants to throw some money at him, and I don't tell him what they want to endorse.
Well, apparently he got, and I thought they said that he got sponsorship for Buffalo jeans because he was wearing Buffalo jeans when he walked across.
Oh,
so he,
wow.
Yeah, apparently now they're giving him a lifetime supply of Buffalo. Well, they probably think he's not going to live long, so.
That's why he has a lifetime supply.
They've given him a lifetime supply of Buffalo jeans. Now, and he's not an old man, so, but I'm thinking, they think, well, he's a daredevil. He'll only wear so many pairs of jeans for so long, so. But you know what? I brought him up today, not just because of the whole aspect of The Wire. I'm going to read what I posted on my Pastor J. Rose page on Facebook, and it was amazing, because when I finally did work the guts to keep, you know, clicking in and then just said I couldn't do this any longer, and then I just shut it down. But then I saw it on the news the other day, and this totally blew my mind. It occurred to me, this is how I worded it. I said, tonight we're talking about Nick Wallenda, the high wire walking and godly talking machine. Amen. But here's what I did, and I actually gave one of my messages on this, because there's something to learn. Okay, and it says, don't try this at home. Oh, wait, try some of this everywhere. To walk on a wire across Niagara Falls may seem difficult, but walking on a wire across the Grand Canyon is even more so difficult. Did I mention without a net to catch you if you fell, or a cable connected to anything to harness you to prevent you from falling? It all began as a dream. First low wire, then lots of practice, then higher and higher to the circus, and who knows where next. No, don't try this at home, as it takes extensive training and many years of training. Time is a trainer, developer, and inspirer. We learn to move, roll, kick, sit up, crawl, stand, walk with lots of falls to eventually running, all with time, lots of patience, and determination. As Nick crossed the Grand Canyon, the microphone tapped into his praying and praising God and worship to Jesus. I was truly moved. Something so private, at a point when life and death truly hung on a wire, Nick didn't care if the world heard him. He knew what to accomplish such a task. It required nobody but Jesus. Praying and mostly praising. Yes, do this not just at home, but everywhere and all the time. You may not be walking on a high wire, but maybe walking on thin ice, on sinking sand, in the valley, or even on higher ground. Whatever the situation may be, you can cross over from safety to safety, surety to surety, and glory to glory, talking and walking with Jesus to get to where he needs you to be. Praying, praising, and walking with Jesus, a surefire safety net. He will always catch you, carry you, and direct you while he calms the storm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I turned on the TV and they were talking about him, and they showed some of the footage. Now, the rest of the world may not have really thought anything about this, because you know it'd be our folks be going, oh, praise God, amen, he's talking to the Lord. But, of course, your average anchor person isn't going to go, who's he talking to? Who's this person he's talking to? They're not even going to inquire,
right,
because they actually would know. But I noticed that they let you hear him. And they said that he was trying when it would get windy and he would talk even more. And this is what it sounded like. I praise you, Father. I worship you, Father. Thank you, Father. I adore you, Father. I can't do anything without you, Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I know you're with me, Jesus. And I'm literally the entire time he was walking.
Interesting.
It was unbelievable. I saw this and my jaw dropped. His dad even came in on the microphone to talk to him on his headpiece. And he said, no, Dad, I don't want to talk to anybody. He goes, I don't want to talk to anybody. And he didn't skip a beat. I praise you, God. I praise you. You calm the winds and you control the storms. And I was astonished.
His
faith
pulled him through that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have to be.
And believe, because you know what they say, if you, well, if you step out on faith and faith will lift you higher, if I have it, I'm going to find it backwards, but it's faith and it's belief that God is going to help him get across.
Yeah.
That's what did it. Because if you don't believe in what you're doing, if you don't have faith, it's like,
yeah,
the Bible talks about the faith of the mustard seed. If you don't have that,
yeah,
faith, then, and if you step out and you're you know, insecure, or you're not comfortable or believing that you will achieve that particular goal, then,
right,
that lack of faith will bring you down. I think perhaps maybe that's what pulled him through this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still sort of stunned. And I encourage anybody out there who's listening, when you get a chance, try and look it up, because I'm sure it's got to be somewhere out there on some news feed or on YouTube. And you'll get to hear, mm-hmm, Nick talking to Jesus.
Wow, that is something.
And think about it. How many people were listening? Because you have to think of how many people were watching.
Right, right.
To me, that is like
that's
your
true
biggest platform, your biggest stage ever.
And
but
it was
then,
an awesome testimony.
Yes. But then,
mm-hmm,
we also have the other side of it. Because remember, when somebody's afraid, I heard Whoopi Goldberg say this the other day, that it doesn't matter that even atheists probably, when they get scared, they only know one name to call on. And it's true.
You know, it's true.
It's true, because you call on your God. You know, you're not going to be driving and you're about to crash and you're going to go, help me, Mama. Because, you know, our mama's a good thing. Mama's
right,
the way around. You know what I'm saying? Or daddy.
That's true.
Yeah. And I always laugh because I can remember saying a sermon some years back. I said, I thank God I was saved because I knew something was going to happen. And I was just honored that the first word that came out of my house wasn't a cuss word, but it was an actual Jesus. And that's the thing. You know the life a person lives by what comes out their mouth when they're afraid.
Right.
Okay, because if you cuss and swear, your first thought is you're going to cuss or you're going to say his name with the cuss. You know? But I think that's an ultimate testimony. I would really like to investigate him some more because I am moved by who he is and where his faith lies. And no doubt his life, he would have to have Jesus in his life to be able to keep talking to him. And I noticed he wasn't praying, he was praising.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to,
that's right.
we tend to ask, me, gimme. And, you know, I just said this last week, I told my stepson the same thing. You know, you can't always expect things without being polite. You've got to be kind to people for them to want to do something.
Right.
That's right.
And you know, God is no different. I mean, as much as he might love us, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's already done what he's supposed to. You don't sacrifice your only son and then go, okay, what else do you guys need from me? You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But that's what we do. And I told Jermaine Cowan on our interview last week that we treat God like a genie and we rub him and we make a wish and hope everything will come out.
And when it don't, we get upset.
I really want to understand not just the spiritual end, but I really need to know, like we said, what leads a man to want to do something like this?
Well, you know what? Now that you've talked about it, like the problem is, like we say, the thrill of it.
Uh-huh.
It could be a deep psychological issue.
Right.
The need for attention. And I think maybe, I mean, those are the only two reasons I can think, but other than that, if we go in his faith and religion and God, it could also be that he has this very close relationship with God, where he believes that God would never let him down and never fail him. And as long as he believes that, and whatever you start out to accomplish, you will accomplish that as long as you have that faith. Because let me give you an example. It's with me with the colorism project. I gave up everything, full-time positions, sacrificed everything. And a lot of people said to me, are you insane? Are you crazy? You're giving up everything.
Right.
To pursue this colorism research, are you crazy? What happens if the project fails? I said, well, it won't fail.
Right.
Because it's not going to fail because I'm setting off with the belief and the faith that each goal I accomplish. Now, it may take me a little longer than what I hoped for to reach them, to get where I want to set the project at the level I expected to be at. But I stepped out on faith, believing that this project is going to be a success story.
Right.
I think it is already. Yes, thank you. With Belinda, I think what he's looking at, he stepped out and, you know, he just said to God, he has this strong belief, his faith, that God's not going to let him down. That he's not going to fall. He's not going to lose his balance. The wind isn't going to blow him off. I mean, that's how I look at it, because when I started the project, that's how I stepped out. And I said, well, God, you know what I'm sacrificing. I'm giving up everything. To do this and, you know, to work part-time and to pursue this project. And I fund the project myself.
Right.
I'm getting ready to take it to a point where I could get sponsorship. But everyone, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, people are like, she's lost her mind. She's insane. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's just that I'm passionate about this. I believe that I can give back and give more by pursuing the project than I could working a 9-to-5 position.
Right.
And when I started it, and trust me, it was, you know, I never, ever doubted anything. And I think with Belinda, with his view is probably similar to what mine is, that with God, you can't fail.
Amen.
You know, you're not going to go wrong. You may have a little bumps, little bruises. You may even have some little, what do they call them, pit stops or little blocks. But if it happens, you just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going. And I think his mind and his mindset and his focus is at that level.
Uh-huh.
And like you noted, when he was talking to God and praising God, when he was going across on that wire rope, I think that is his whole, that's what keeps him going.
Amen. Miss T?
Yeah. And
what
we
do
never
you think?
Know. Well, sometimes God gives us directions that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to us. And, of course, when we do it, people are looking at us like she has lost her mind.
The Noah syndrome, I call it.
What was he thinking? You know, so sometimes when we're just being obedient, but it's like, Lord, you want me to do what? For real? I mean, I know I've had to say that to God and say, you want me to what? Are you serious? Okay. I'm not understanding why, but okay, I'm just going to obey you. But he also tested us to see are we bold enough to just trust him, like he said, you know. So we don't know. This might have been a test for him, just like it was for Abraham when God told him, "I want you to take your only son Isaac, and you go into this temple, you go slay him." And I'm sure he was like, "Lord, you want me to what?" But he did it. So
that's
sometimes
true.
The directions God give us don't make sense. But if we're just being obedient, and I believe that that's what he's just calling us to, just obey.
Amen.
And if we obey, and just like him, obey without grumbling, obey without complaining, just obey and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what you're doing, but okay. Okay, God, I still love you, Lord, but I don't know what you're going to do. Oh, my goodness, you know. So just keep moving forward and continue to praise God through every process for every step because we
Amen.
Were just being obedient. So.
Okay. And, you know, I think I am going to look into this some more and see what else I can find out about him. I will definitely update you guys. But I'm going to put on another song by Norma Aline, and we're going to take this quick musical interlude so we can give some honor to God. And when we come back, we have a few minutes because we're going to talk about our last woman of excellence, Ms. Paula Deen. So hang in there, ladies, and hang in there, listeners. And I give you again the wonderful, wonderful woman from Barbados, Norma Aline, and her wonderful song, He Cares.
I think I'm alone in this world.
cares. I know he cares. My, my, my. I think that was such a fitting song for the topic we're about to talk about next. Ladies, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I have my wonderful, wonderful sidekick here, Ms. T, Trinae Prosser, author and comedian from down in the little heart of Texas. And
that's
then
right.
We have my awesome, wonderful, phenomenal friend, Dr. Donna Marie Culbreth, all the way from Maryland, from the Colorism Project. Now, my. The song says, "When no one else cares." Yes, I know he cares for me. Should we dedicate this to our girl, Ms. Paula Deen? I think she's looking for some love right now. I'm going to read. I got two statements in that I wanted to read. One from a friend of mine, a former classmate or schoolmate of mine, Deanna, and she said she believes that Paula Deen is a racist, privileged woman who thinks she gets to define what racism is and is not, a.k.a., typical white person with no sense of empathy. Now, what I need to point out is that Deanna is not a black female. Deanna, I don't think she, well, I'd be lying if I could tell you she was Anglo-Saxon white, because I know she's not. But let's just say she's not a woman of color. How's that? And
okay.
She's a person. I know that Deanna, she is an empathy activist. She has such empathy for the underprivileged, for the taken advantaged, and she's just an amazing woman. And, I mean, she doesn't care what battle it is. I remember once she'd found an article and she'd put it on Facebook, and it was talking about something that was just so wrong for some poor black kids, the graduation. There was a place in Georgia who was just starting to allow for graduations to be intermingled with blacks and whites. And this was probably, I think it was just a few months ago, and it was the first of its kind, and it had been going on. They had segregated graduations.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was angrier than I was. So, but this is her thought on Paula Deen. Now, the next person is, it's a submission from a very dear friend of mine. I call her one of my mentors because when I was coming through the ministry, she was actually one of my teachers in one of my programs, and I was in awe with her. And it's Reverend Alice Patterson, and just a shout-out to my AME folk over there in the States, especially in the heart of Detroit, Michigan. Hey, 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 to my AMEs, and definitely to her members and her congregation at Trinity AME Church over there in Michigan. And it says, some people are saying it doesn't matter what Paula Deen says because of who she is and isn't, and what type of position she does or does not hold. However, for me, from what occurs in the gas stations and the grocery stores, and she's talking about in Detroit, to what occurs to workplaces, to what occurs in the media, to what occurs in Congress and the Supreme Court. And she put that in quotes because I guess they're making they're making laws today. It matters and should not be tolerated at any level. It's a cancer.
Right.
I love this part. It's a cancer that grows from the living room to the neighborhood to the nation. I love that line. I'm going to have to coin that. That is just amazing. Tolerating. Yeah, tolerating and looking past racism, unfair treatment, and other injustices at any level is what allows such behavior to grow and flourish at the highest level and do the greater harm. My word. Now do you see why she was one of my mentors? Go on now, Reverend Alice. Go on. And I like that. It's like a cancer. Miss T, what are you thinking about? Have you heard all the particulars about this woman we call Paula Deen?
I've heard a lot of the particulars, and I've read some, and it just kind of reminds me of stories my mom would tell me. My mom's only 72, that here we are 45 years later still dealing with racism, and it seems like now that Obama made it to the White House, things just got harder for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It got harder for everybody, every race, and so now it's almost like it's totally out of control. And people want us to stay in the 1920s and 1930s and 1940s.
Right.
But when we come back and say, no, it's wrong. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. Well, the money bags, sponsors, restaurants are taking notice. They don't want to be associated with that because that hurts their business.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a position such as hers, and I'm having to learn that to be in a position such as I'm becoming to be, I have to be mindful of what I say and where I say it.
Right.
You're right. That's right. That's right.
I mean, really, and it's a good practice for me now to get in the habit of, and I understand that Paula is a person, like, she's so down home, and she's just used to saying what she says and means what she says, and it doesn't mean that she didn't mean it in a ugly way, but the fact that she said it still.
Yes.
Well, you know, because we...
And to say it in a time as now when we're more aware of things.
Right.
Yeah.
I think she is.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. Because, I mean, we say things and we know things, but at the same point, like you said, there's a time and a place for everything. But at the same point, we're in a world of awareness now. And so, you know, I mean, come on, we just passed so many more laws, and in America they're passing more laws about gay marriages. And, you know, we have to be careful what we say, even in the church.
That's right. It's just, you know, it's, and I think the biggest issue is just like with the Colorism Project. I had a couple of black people say to me, you're not doing this right, because you need to go after and really talk about white people. And my response to that is that we know where colorism comes from. I covered that in the first couple of shows. And we know that it stems from the slavery issue.
Right.
But my job is not to bash them. It's not to be nasty toward them. My job, my goal is to say to people of color, racism is more of a reason why we must stop colorism within our own race. You know, our own groups. And it just disturbs me when a comment like this, the comments are being made, but it's bigger than that, because if we think about it, since President Obama's been president, you made an excellent point before with that, things have just spiraled out of control. It's the lack of respect that the president has shown as the president of the United States of America.
Right.
There are people doubting his birthplace. They're being disrespectful to Miss Obama, the comments that are being made about her, their children, about him. President Obama is highly intelligent. This man is, his intellectual level is up there. And what happened is, this is what I think happened. When you started seeing the mainstream media, especially during the campaign, how disrespectful, rude, nasty, unbelievable things that were going on, it was allowed. It was allowed.
Yeah.
And now, and you started seeing more and more racism. I remember when he was first elected to term, I worked at a bank, and the day of election, or I think the day before even, everybody there, they're walking around in their red, and they were so cheerful and happy, and we're going to win this. Well, the night President Obama, the next day after he'd won the election, I walked into that office, and you could hear a pin drop.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so quiet. I laughed. I sat down and I laughed. I laughed so hard until I fell out of my chair. But it was, I said to myself, and it wasn't the silence because your candidate didn't win. It was because, oh my gosh, this black man is now president of the United States.
What are we going to do now?
Right. And it,
and it disturbed me. And with me, you know, with the colorism, you know, so much research has been conducted on racism, and I find it should not be tolerated. Bottom line, it's just like with the Cheerios commercial. Everybody's in uproar over the Cheerios commercial, but America has become a brown America.
Right.
You're seeing
yeah.
multicultural families, you're seeing biracial families, and I actually sent an email to Cheerios, and I applauded them, and I told them I thought that commercial was long overdue. Because this is what you see every day, and this is one of the reasons why so many little children of color have low self-esteem. Because when they look at television, when they look in magazines, unless it's Ebony, Essence, or Jet, or Black Focus magazine, we don't see too many people of color, even on the media, on the news outlets. You never really see a very, very dark complexion anchor.
True.
And the issue with this racism, what disturbed me is that I think the decision to remove her like from the Food Network and all the other great people that are dropping her, yes, it has to be done because the message must be sent that you can't say, oops, call someone the N-word and say, oops, I didn't mean it. Well, it's just like my friend Professor Evans always says, that he states this all the time to me, the basic character, he says this, when people show you who they are, believe them.
And
my granddad always told us the basic characteristics of a person, they never, ever change. Where someone can say to you, I'm not a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first sign I always see is when somebody says, I love black people. My niece is dates a black guy. And I've done so many investigations as an HR consultant that were racially, involved racial discrimination.
Right.
It is what it is.
True,
and
true.
In 2013, it's a shame. It's a shame before God that we see people in the public's eye who think they can say or do things and then turn around and say, oh, I didn't really mean it. I'm so sorry. Because I said I'm sorry, you must forgive me and let my life go on as it was before.
Okay.
Right. No.
Now, my only issue now, too, is that it leads us to the next aspect of it, that the ultimate N-word is, as the comedian the other day said, and if she used the N-word, it definitely isn't non-fat. It's, you know, we know what it is. But to me, I've never understood the logic of we as black people, Afro-Canadians, Afro-Americans, Africans in general, that we have fought so hard for equality and for positive labeling.
Right.
And we tell them, don't call us that. It's a derogative word. But at the same point, now it seems to be the hip thing these days for rappers and those kinds to be using the word. But they say, yeah, but it's not with an ER. It's with an A at the end. And I'm thinking,
right.
When has that ever become a positive word?
But, you know, again, it stems back to, I watched, and this is amazing, I watched Blazing Saddles last night. It just happened to be on television.
I love that.
And
too,
I'm not a big television person, but I was flicking. I was like, okay, let's see what's on. It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I love that movie. I
forgot the guy's name. Yeah, I love it. I think it's Cleavon Little. And what he did in order to appease the white people there, he referred to himself as the N.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little scene there toward the beginning after he was elected the sheriff. And I zone in on stuff like this. And he called himself the N-word to appease them. So they would say, oh, he's a good N. He's not a problem.
Yes.
So I think with these rappers, they don't understand historical issues that people of color have really suffered through. And they think, and I'm just thinking, I could be wrong, that their use of the word with the meaning R, A-R on the N, is saying to them, see, I'm a good one. I'm saying whatever I need to say to get out here and get this record, you know, famous, or make a name for myself. Even if it means disgracing myself, or my race, and people of color. And I think a lot of it is just like they have the issues with them, the light-skinned girls in the video.
Uh-huh.
I think it's an issue where they think it's acceptable. One side of them is saying,
I'm playing the game and giving them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe it's what they think. And then the other side of them, they're saying, oh, black people won't mind me saying with the A-R-O-E-N because they know that means like my boy or my friend or my buddy. But the problem is this. They don't understand. It's a twofold meaning here. And I have no issues against anyone of any racial group at all. But I think that their mindset is, okay, I'm appeasing the white producers and managers, giving them this vulgar stuff, which is still demeaning to people, to black Americans.
It does.
And then
I'm insulted.
And I'm, I just think
We've come too far. We've come too far.
Keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the Paula Deans of the world, I think the biggest issue with her, and I even had someone say this to me before, well, you all call each other that, so why can't we say it? Why is it so offensive when someone who doesn't belong to the black race?
Exactly. We're supposed to lead by example. And to me, you can't have it both ways. It's good enough for us to use for us in the way we say it, but you're not allowed to say it. It should be a word that just shouldn't be used in general.
Remember, if you're a comedian with Richard Pryor. Remember Richard Pryor? We used the N-word a lot in his routine. I think he even had a show with it, and it's crazy. He did that to
They liked him. They were more attached to him than we were.
That's right. And I'll be the first to admit, when I was younger, I loved Richard Pryor. I worshipped him. He was like the greatest thing in the world. And he's just the first person I heard curse. I was like, wow, this guy's really cool. So my mom and dad found out. We had the album, and it was just instantly it was removed from the house. But I think he did what he had to, you know, because back in that era, in order to make it to be accepted, you had to, in a sense, demean yourself in your race. In order to say to them, see, I'm one of them, but I'm really not one of them. I'll act as whatever I have to do to make it, or if it means I have to refer to myself and my race of people as ends, then I'm going to do it because I'm making money.
Yeah.
And what they feel, and if you think about it,
the term sellout just came to mind.
That's the term. You're right. But so when I look at Paula Deen, when you see someone who's not a person of color using a racial slur or saying something like that, it's beyond offensive. Especially so, and I don't know if you recall, Pastor Ralph, during my talk radio show, I had some young white guys call the show and call me a blanking blank N-word. And live on the air. And I was not going to have it. I reported to the FBI. I found out the name of their cell phone company. And I made an issue. I pushed that until something was done. We cannot allow, first of all, we should stop as a race of people using the N-word. And number two, anyone who does use that word, especially in a demeaning or derogatory manner, their heels should be locked. They should lose endorsements. And they should be shut down, because people fail to understand it in life. For every action, there is a reaction. And what really screws people up, they're never prepared for the reaction. So
okay, but we as Christians, are supposed to be forgiving. Miss T?
Yeah.
That's true.
Paula put her foot in her mouth several times. I made a mention here, and this is what I taught. I posted about apologies, and here's what I put. Word to the wise. Okay, the foolish can pay attention too. When you apologize to someone else, it should never lead back to yourself.
Uh-huh.
The apology should be all about the person you are apologizing to. Paula Deen has apologized so many times, and it always leads back to herself and how she is suffering. It's not about the one apologizing, but about the one you are apologizing to help ease their pain, their hurt, their discomfort, or whatever ill feeling they were experiencing as a detriment to what you have done. Hence the apology. It's not how many times you apologize, but the care in letting the other person know they are important. So it's all about them. She's daily making things worse instead of better. Miss T? She's losing endorsements and she's suffering. Are we going to forgive her?
No.
She said no. Absolutely
like
not.
That
I heard that.
That was so unchristian of me, Reverend Doctor. Y'all forgive me. yes, we forgive her, but you know what? She's getting her payback now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because a person can be forgiven, but sometimes you're not restored to where you were because there was
Amen.
A break in your fellowship.
Yes,
and
right,
so
exactly.
There will be some fallout. And financially, I don't think it's going to hurt her.
Right. No, I think it will. I think it will because I can. That's why she's crying, because she's so scared of where it's going to be. Remember, we're not talking about somebody who was well off and well before. She made her money off of us.
Yeah,
well, you know,
yeah.
That gives me a valid point. That's true.
But she's losing
endorsements.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that financially it's not going to hurt her enough to where she'll be bankrupt unless she just.
No. She will not starve. There will still be people around. I think she'll still have supporters. I think what happens is, first of all, her publicist, whoever she's got working for her, they need to be fired.
Second of all,
you know what it is? She needs counseling, because the reason I say that is she's from the South, okay? She was raised a certain way, and she's set in her ways. She's an older woman. But
right.
I was watching some video with her and Oprah and Gail, and they were going fishing, and she interacts with Black people, and she enjoys them. So I wouldn't say she's a racist to the point of where, you know, she's going to put on a white cape and be burning crosses. But at the same point, it's a word she's used to using because that's just how they talked.
Right.
It was acceptable.
Yeah,
but I don't think, like I said, we're at a point in the society where things aren't tolerated anymore. And if everyone else has to be mindful of how they speak, then so should she.
Right.
And like you said, Ms. T said it, when you get to a certain point in your life, you become more accountable because everybody's watching.
Right.
And not only, but here's the biggest issue with her. What she also did was a quote in there by the Rainbow Push attorney, Patillo, who made note in an article that, quote, they preferred white and light-skinned Blacks to work with customers. And that darker-skinned Blacks were relegated to the back of the house.
Oh, boy.
In quotes. That's colorism right there.
That's
because
big
colorism,
time. Big time.
You
big
know,
time.
Colorism goes. It's, right, it goes
we've got the house ones and the field ones all happening again.
Exactly.
Man, that's not good.
So, that's
ladies, we got
country, I mean,
we've got about two more minutes, and we can deal with this.
Okay.
I was just going to quickly say that I think that's half of why it's looking so bad is because those investigations are already underway. The lawsuit, the pending lawsuit with the employees saying that. Charging her for racial discrimination. So that's feeding into it more than, I believe, the fact that she did what she did. You know what I'm saying? Because now it's all going to come up. Your whole dirt is coming up now.
Yeah.
And you
can't
hide it.
A lot more is going to come up. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's what's making it so bad because, again, it goes back to white superiority, white privilege, the belief because of the white privilege that I can't say these things.
Yeah.
And the problem here is that what we have to look at, yes, everybody could probably get past for using the N-word. They probably could. I don't know. But when you see all the other issues where you're calling an employee a monkey, where you are having this preference for lighter skin over darker skin, I mean, it's just like it opens that front. And I know, as Christians, I know we forgive and we move on, and I think eventually that will happen, but I think that she must learn, something must come out of this where she must learn a lesson.
Yeah, and I think she's feeling it. She is feeling it. And I think because of even today when she was on the Today Show, she broke down and cried. And I think emotionally it's getting to her now because she's not just afraid of the detriment and the damage she's caused. I think she's really feeling horrible and she's not sure how to handle it. And I seriously think counseling is going to help her because she has to learn.
That's right.
I'm going to say this in the most ironic way. Here we go. Are you ready for this, ladies? She's going to have to learn her place.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's right. And,
amen.
And I can tell you, that's couldn't have said it better. She has to learn her place, and she has to understand that this is not 1940, 56, or the 60s.
Oh, yeah. And I know she'll learn that, but her, quote-unquote, learning her place, well, basically, it leads her back to how she was treating the people she was treating. And so she now has to know her place because there's a lot that the society will not tolerate anymore. But, ladies, we're going to have to start a wrapping on this. I give you 2 seconds to each say a final statement. Miss T?
Well, I kind of said my in the sense that I believe the lesson she'll learn is she'll be a better manager if she still gets to keep people to work for her in her restaurants, you know. But
oh,
I
she
think
will.
That will make her be a better person.
Well, she's
right.
Let's just say the Lord has a way of fixing things. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Culbert, what? 2 seconds. Go ahead.
I just think that at the end of the day, the lesson that must be learned here is that she understands how detrimental racism is. And until she understands that, she's not going to change. She's going to still think it's okay to say words like that, whether it's behind closed doors or out. She probably will never stay in the open again. But she must learn and understand that racism is not going to be tolerated. It's just as no more than it's just that they're fighting for rights for gay people.
Yeah.
Where you can't discriminate against them. You can't discriminate against people of color either. At the end
of
the day.
Right.
Discrimination is discrimination, regardless of how you cut your paint.
We're not going to take anything.
I feel sorry for her, the position that she's placed herself in.
Amen.
And hopefully she can rebound. And, you know, looking at
she
the
will.
Bigger picture going forward,
I think she's going to get some counseling. And then we as Christian folks, Ms. T, yes, we are going to forgive her. Because if we don't forgive her, well, we have that on our heads. Amen. I want to thank my wonderful ladies. We could have gone on all night with this, but we only have so much time. But I want to thank you, Dr. Donna Culbreth. Once again, Colorism Project. Check her out. I'm going to put a link on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page so you can check her show out. It's Thursday evenings at what time?
At 8 p.m. now, Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. So I will put a link to your show on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications show on our page on Facebook. We already have Ms. T. And so we'll still keep following Ms. T. And we know she'll be back. I can't begin to thank you so much, ladies. And I hope you'll stay on the line just as we close out the show. I'm just going to pray us out. Amen?
Okay.
Okay. Ready.
And for those of you, we are forgiven folk. And so we have to remember that the God we serve is a forgiving God and that we too make mistakes. I think we all need to pray for Ms. Dean and her family. She's hurting. I know we can't identify with the kind of hurt that she's going through and the pain she's feeling. But at the same point, she's still one of God's children. I just pray that she gets it right. I know with the Lord, when you don't learn your lesson, and we talked about the beginning of the show, when you don't learn your lesson,
you go through it again.
Amen. And the Lord has a way of making you repeat. And he'll do it several times over. So I'm praying right now that she would. And we just want to thank you again for signing in and for listening and for staying with us. Jesus loves you. So do we. And we're going to pray, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for being present this evening. I ask that you continue to bless those listening in. bless the ministry that you have given these two wonderful women, Father God. Bless everything they put their hands to, and you be glorified therein. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we put out blessings for their family, for their friends, for their neighbors, and anyone who comes in touch with them, Father God, that they know that these women are yours. And Father, we thank you for this show. We thank you for the day. And
yes.
Father, we lift up Paula Deen. We thank you for Nick Walenda, for sharing
yes.
you in ministry, that you would continue to keep him safe in all he does. And Father God, we pray for those who don't know you or are getting to know you.
Yes.
That they would always, always feel you, no matter what, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And for that reason, we need you to move right now, Holy Spirit, and
yes.
touch those right now who need a touch from you, who need to hear you and feel you. And we give you glory, honor, and praise, because no other is worthy but
yes.
you. We thank you and say it all in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, good evening.
Amen. And to my listeners, once again, we say again, thank you for tuning in, and God be with you until we meet again.
Amen.
Healing do forever.